you sure that without the shadow of a doubt your name is in God's Lamb's Book of Life?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, Pastor Brian Grant explained how the judgment seat of Christ is an accounting only for believers and how it is not about sin, it is about rewards for faithful service. This week, Pastor Grant brings before us another accounting, this time a fearful accounting that awaits all unbelievers. No one listening to this broadcast needs to be there. Come to Jesus now. Here is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of Heaven's Final Audits.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And if those of you who have red letter Bibles will notice, this is in what color? It's in red. So what does that mean? Jesus is now speaking. And Jesus says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. He's speaking to the church now, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wished you were either cold or hot. Make up your mind. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will what? I will, my Bible says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich. I have become wealthy. I don't need a thing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He is speaking to his own church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. This is a verse that many of us preachers often use to say to the unsaved, that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. But we need to recognize that this verse is not written to the unsaved. It's written to the church. And Jesus is saying to his own church, I am standing at the door and knocking. Jesus says, you have locked me out. Can you imagine this? Jesus says, I am outside. I am knocking to get in. And he says, if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. What an unbelievable picture of the end time church this is. A picture of a church which has rejected the Savior who has saved us from our sin is on the outside. What an amazing thing. Can I be frank? I'm going to be whether you say yes or no. There is no doubt in my mind that we're running out of time. The evangelical church, which was once, we would be regarded as the one carrying the message. We have become so political and so materialistic. The message of the cross has been put on a back burner. It is shocking. I chose my words carefully, so I'm going to read them. It is shocking that in some pulpits, you may hear more about which politician we should align with than about the gospel. Shame.
speak to all of us here as well as to everyone who might be hearing me on the conservative station that we are broadcasting on. Whenever we start aligning ourselves with politicians and encouraging the church to support one politician over another, we have missed the game. Our duty is to preach the gospel. The only message God has entrusted to his church is the gospel of salvation. And may we, by the grace of God, always seek to preach his word. Amen. Sadly, not to offend people, some are rejecting. They're doing polls and they're finding out that the gospel message is the talk about sin doesn't line up with people. So some of the it's just unbelievable that some of the largest churches, I heard with my own two ears, one of the largest churches in America, the pastor said, you can depend on him never to preach about sin again. Oh my goodness, I can't get that quite out of my mind because I can't quite wrap my mind around a preacher who promises not to preach about sin. May God have mercy on us. But my brothers and sisters, when we see these things happening, we recognize that time is running out. And my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, time is running out. Your opportunity to serve God and get serious, young people, it's no longer time to relax and say, when I get to 21, get serious for Jesus. Right now, listen, GCA, and I challenge the young men coming and the young women coming behind me. As I've said before, I'm here. God has put me here as a transitional pastor to help prepare the next generation. And I challenge you young people, hold fast to the gospel of Christ. Be always willing to preach the message without compromise. Make sure you are willing to stand flat-footed and to preach fearlessly that every man is born a sinner. But the Lord Jesus, listen, we were great sinners, but thank God we have a great Savior. Hallelujah. But Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And my friend, if you're here this morning or you're under the sound of my voice, I want you to know, despite what you may have done, Jesus loves you and he's willing to save you and change you by his grace. May we commit this morning to be fearless deliverers and declarers of this gospel of Christ. Well, the first thing we had to talk about had to do with the judgment seat of Christ. But the second important judgment is the great white throne judgment. So put this in your notes. Anyone not born again must appear before God's great white throne judgment. Two great judgments: the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, but secondly, the great white throne judgment for the unbeliever. We are reading Revelation. Jump over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven passed away. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me just share with you four quick things about the great white throne judgment.
four important facts about the great white throne judgment. Number one, it will be fearsome. It will be fearsome. Verse 11 tells you that. He says, earth and heaven fled away. I've heard sinners say that if they had to stand before God, they'll be able to argue their case. Can you imagine that? Listen, I'll be able to argue my case. Some people have a false sense of how convincing they may be. But listen, the great white throne judgment is so fearsome. Come on now, young people, I hope you kids are listening. The reason the Lord touched my heart is because I did not want to go to hell. It will be so fearsome, everyone will be speechless. And for, as I just said, even the earth and the sky fled away. Young people, older folks, if you're not saved, you need to get saved right now. Amen? But not only will it be fearsome, number two, it will include every unsaved person. Let me just pause here, because when people listen to read some of this, they don't believe it. I hope you've been following the series so far. And if you haven't been following, go back particularly to messages 1 and 2, where we open to you how God predicted over 1,000 years in advance the exact detail about how Christ would be born, where he would be born, everything. Listen, the Bible is so accurate, it's more accurate than today's newspaper. Because trust me, today's newspaper has a lot of stuff that ain't so. The Bible has nothing that ain't so. And so you had better believe God's holy word. God is giving us the facts, as scary as it may seem, as distasteful as you may feel it is. God is telling us what is going to happen. And he says, hell is going to be fearsome. The great white throne judgment is fearsome. Second, he says it will include every unsaved person. A person's social class won't matter. For verse 12 says that both the small and the great will stand before God. It don't matter how much, whether you're poor like a church mouse or you live in the White House. It does not matter. It will include every unsaved person. Third, those whose name is in the book of life will be excluded. Is anybody happy about that? Verse 15 tells us, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is only for folks whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, preacher, what is all this stuff about the Lamb's Book of Life? The Bible says that every time somebody comes to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the minute you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, what happens? Your name is written where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. And once your name goes in the Lamb's Book of Life, ain't coming out. No, I don't know what type of paper it is, what type of computer system, whatever God is using. Whatever he is using. Nowadays we have AI. You better believe that the God of the universe has stuff much bigger and better and more advanced than AI. Amen. So whatever God is using, all I know is that my name is written there. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on now. Are you sure that without the shadow of a doubt, your name is in God's Lamb's Book of Life? Are you sure that you received Jesus as your Savior? You repented of your sin and received him? Because that's what happens. Thank God my name is there. And so I don't have to worry about being excluded. Hallelujah. But listen, those whose name is in the book of life will be excluded. Fourth, the sentence is the eternal lake of fire. Hell. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I just want to say this because I hear some folks say that after 1,000 years, everything will end. And you've heard that story, haven't you, about 1,000 years? But my Bible doesn't say nothing about 1,000 years. My Bible says what? Forever and ever. In fact, 1,000 years earlier is when the beast and false prophet were cast in the lake of fire. If you study the prophetic word, and they're still there being tormented. There was a time when ministers of the gospel would warn people about the horrors of hell. I remember Billy Graham writing before he died. Way back then, Billy Graham wrote a pamphlet entitled, "Whatever Happened to Hell?" Do you realize how little you hear about hell today? Preachers, to our shame, have discovered that hell is bad for the bottom line. Are you understand what I'm saying? Hell, preaching about hell, turns people off. In fact, some of you may be turned off already because I'm preaching about hell. But we ain't going to stop preaching about hell. Because the gospel is designed to give us an alternative road. There are only two roads. There's a road. There is a way that seems right to a man. But the end of that road is disaster, destruction, and the fire of hell. But hallelujah, there is a narrow road. Amen? There is a narrow road that leads to everlasting life. Oh, don't make me... Young people, listen good. You may be disappointed that so few seem to be serious about serving Jesus. It's okay. The Bible told us already. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there's a whole many find it. But he said, narrow is the road that leads to life. And very, very few find it. So I want to encourage you, young people, hold on to Jesus and hold on to his word. Yes, it's a narrow road, but it's the right road, amen. And it's the only road that leads to everlasting life. May the Lord help us to hold firmly and to stay strongly on that road. Hell is real and is as hot as ever. You know, many years ago, and don't worry, I'm winding down. Many years ago, ABC did a documentary on hell. It's been a while, but I have never forgotten it. Because what Charles Manson said is so unbelievable. Some of you know that name. He was a pop singer and a cult leader. But on that ABC documentary, he said, "I prefer to go to hell rather than heaven." He said, "For all the stars and the cool people will be in hell." He said, "Hell is going to be one continuous party." Do you know that? Can I just correct him? You mind if I correct him? Nobody in hell is going to be cool. For hell is an unquenchable fire. So if you're not going to get saved, young man, if you're going to still rebel, I encourage you, every time you pass a water fountain, take a drink. Because there's a day coming when you would wish you could get a little drink. But you know, although there be a lot of noise and a lot of light in hell, unlike what Charles Manson says, it won't be from the strobe lights. And the noise won't be from the reveling. It is from people experiencing the torments of hell. Some of you may be saying, "Pastor Brian, you're trying to scare me to receive Christ." And can I be honest? If I could scare you into heaven, I would. reality is, I can't. The only way you can avoid hell is to open your heart to the Savior and come to the point of your life when you're saying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to experience the joy of heaven. I want to be in heaven with you. Lord Jesus, I recognize you did everything to make me avoid hell and to put me on the path to heaven. And so, Lord Jesus, today I am coming and I'm repenting. I'm turning from my sinful ways. And I'm receiving Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sin. And today, Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come into my heart and cleanse me. Save me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My young friend, my older friend, no matter who you are, if you will do that right now, God will hear you. God will forgive you of every sin you have ever done. You don't have to go and make a list of all of them. He will wipe the slate clean and he will give you a brand new start and you'll be on your way to heaven.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.